love of the Lord and what they do. Praise God. He is so good to us today. Hallelujah. How many of you ready for some word today? Wow, man, you guys are just too good, man. No, you're awesome. Praise God. He is faithful to us. Hallelujah. You know, I've got about 100 sermons in me this morning. So we might be here a while. So if you're used to a speedy church in and out, you may want to order some food today. Just, you got a cell phone, they'll meet you at the door. Just tell them to bring it in, right? Hallelujah. I want you to stand this morning and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. We've been dealing with the orphan spirit, the orphan heart, and we're going to continue that in a way this morning. But I just feel like there's some people that really need some real encouragement today. Just, you really need some encouragement today, and I want the Word of God to minister to you and as you open up your heart. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says, without a vision, the people what? Without a vision. Another translation says, without a redemptive revelation. Okay? So without a vision, without seeing, people perish. You know, the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of what? Of knowledge. So God wants you to have a spirit or eyes of an open heart to receive the message of his grace, because the message of grace is the message of Jesus. Jesus and grace are synonymous. They are one. You cannot divide Jesus and grace. They are one. And God wants you to have the full revelation of God's grace in your life. Hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five and say, you're full of his grace today. Amen, you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when we receive the Lord in our lives, we believe we receive the Lord in our life, so many people are yet unaware of God's grace. They hear about God's grace. They hear about the amazing grace of God, perhaps, but they're really unaware of the full ramifications of what grace really means. So then they begin to go to places where there's a mixture of law and grace, because most Christian churches, for the most part, mix law and grace. There's a performance mentality that comes along, a religious system that comes along, and it really says, in order for you to be saved now, in order for you to keep your salvation now, you've got to do this. And they add all these things to grace and keep people really under the law instead of under grace. God wants you living free under grace. God does not want you living in a mixture of law and grace, like oil and water. It simply does not mix, and it will wear you out. Religion is always based on performance. And you know, some of us, we've grown up in this performance mentality. And that's a big thing in an orphan's heart. They have a performance mentality because they're always wanting to please daddy, when they don't realize that daddy's already pleased with them because of Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God is so pleased with Jesus, and because he's so pleased with Jesus, he is pleased with you. But we get into this mentality that we've got to do something in order to get something from God. And God says, no, I sent my son, he did something so you could receive something freely. So you don't have to perform anymore, you don't have to dance anymore, you know, because I dance over you. I sing over you because of my son. Turn to somebody and say, you know what? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It really is. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his grace in our lives. He did everything so you could chill. He did everything so you wouldn't have to. He wants you to receive the rest of God. He is our Sabbath. Jesus is our rest. You know, there's still a Christian organization that practices the Sabbath. They keep the Sabbath. Well, they try to keep the Sabbath. So they actually practice that, you know, and they try to keep it. But all this stuff going around just adds works and frustration. And, you know, religious people are some of the meanest people I ever met. They are mean at times, and they're very critical and judgmental because they'll start comparing their efforts to your effort. Boy, they did it in the Bible days. They did it to Jesus' disciples. You know, they were comparing their efforts to their efforts. Turn to somebody and say, don't look at anybody, but look at Jesus. He's the one you focus on. He's the one you're looking on. He's the one that you put your attention on. Amen? Don't be comparing yourself with others. That will just cause you to be disappointed, frustrated, and you'll get critical and fall into a critical spirit. And you know, you don't want to be there. You know, you're kind of like that little, what's the little cartoon? The guy walks around and he's got a rainstorm following him wherever he goes. Is that Charlie Brown? Is that one of the guys in Charlie Brown? And everywhere he goes, it's raining on his parade. Amen. Don't fall into religion, because religion often comes up with a critical spirit, and people get critical of one another and their performance. And, oh, they're not praying as much as I'm praying. Brother, you need to be praying more. You need to be writing your Bible more. Praying and reading your Bible is good. Amen. It's a good thing, right? Praise God. Praying the right way is a better thing. Most people don't know how to pray the right way because they're still begging God to do something when God says, hey, guess what? It's all done. Wow. Don't have to beg me anymore. I sent my son. I accomplished my task. My son said, it is finished, which means it's completed. It's done. So I did that so you could rest and chill and say, hey, now I've given you the authority to command my hand. Whoa. Amen. You see, so many people, they're trying to activate faith. They're wanting to activate faith because they've been taught, if I can get enough faith, then I can move God. Faith moves God. We used to sing a song like that years ago. Faith, faith, faith moves God. And boy, we'd get down on it, man. Glory, amen. And a lot of us have been taught in the faith arena, including me. You know, I was taught in the faith arena. I mean, I love faith. Faith. I love faith. Amen. Faith is awesome. We know about faith. The Bible says what in Romans 8, faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we got on that, and we got in the word, and then you open up the word, you know, and then so good. And we thank God for faith. Faith is there. Faith is a part of us. But you know, when you receive Jesus, you receive faith. He deposited faith within you. He deposited faith within your spirit. Mark 11:22. Look at what it says. Mark 11:22. Because we understand faith, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get some results. Anybody want to see some results? Amen. I want some results. Amen. So Jesus answered and said to them what? Have faith in God. The literal translation of that is have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. You have the faith of God in you, in your born-again spirit already. The faith of God resides in you. The Bible says all of us have been given the measure of faith. He's given us that faith. It's not that one has more of a measure than the other. It's the same measure he used for all of us. So when we were born again, faith was deposited within our spirit. Amen. Our spirit man is full. It has the fruit of the Spirit. We're not trying to get the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Turn there a second. Galatians 5:22. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit, what? Is. Is that present or past? Present is right now in you, in your spirit, in your born-again spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, if you've got the root of the Spirit, you've got the fruit of the Spirit. The root of the Spirit is deposited in your spirit when you became a believer. So therefore, because you have the root deposited in you, you have the fruit growing out of you, evidenced out of you. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. You're not trying to get it. It's already in you. You already got it. This is the biggest thing about grace. What I want to tell you this morning, you want your faith to excel or be accelerated or to see the manifestation of things in your life. When you have a revelation of what God has done, his complete work on the cross, all that he's provided, everything is finished, everything is in you. I want to tell you, your faith just explodes, man. It's like, whoa! Whoa! Amen! It's already in me. I already received it. It's already there. Hallelujah! When you get a vision of that, when you have an understanding of that, when the scales fall off your eyes like Paul did, and all of a sudden you realize, whoa! God's got this. Amen! And he deposited in me. Your peace, man, is like, whoa! Your rest is so complete in him. And he says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love is in you. Joy is in you. Peace is in you. Long-suffering, patience, kindness is in you. Goodness. Goodness is in you. Faithfulness is in you. Faith is already deposited in your spirit. What happens is when we get law and grace mixed up, what happens is law is a grace killer. Law was given for one reason, to tell you how bad you are and how much you need God. And when you start looking at the law and continue looking at it, it continually reminds you of everything that you've done wrong. Grace reminds you of everything that he's done right. Oh, glory to God. But if you continue are subject to the law, you are pounded under condemnation. And the Bible says, now that you are in Christ, there is no condemnation, amen, to those that are in Christ Jesus. You've been freed from condemnation. Now you have faith within your heart, and your faith is accelerated because you know you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, no longer under the law, no longer condemned, no longer under condemnation, but receiving the life-giving love of Christ in you unconditionally. Woo! That made me want to clap. Amen. I can get excited about that, guys. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me this morning? Man, I love these devices. Aren't they cool? Y'all like them? Some of the things I like about them. I do kind of like the old phone when nobody can get a hold of you. Yeah. Right? You had to come home and push a button to listen to the message, and you weren't even thinking about it. Now it's like, all the time. Whew, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Matthew 8:6. Roman centurion. Two people in the Bible. We know about this. Two people in the Bible Jesus said had great faith. Roman centurion and the Syrophoenician woman. Two people. Now when Jesus had entered the Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. How cool Jesus is. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy you should enter under my roof, but only speak a word. Speak a word. And my servant will be healed. He had a revelation of God's grace. Speak a word, and my servant will be healed. He had a revelation, and the reason he had a revelation is because he was not a Jew. He wasn't under law. He was no part of law. Amen. He said, I'm a man under authority under me, and I say go, and they go. I have soldiers under me, and they say go, and go. Well, he goes, and the other come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, said to follow those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such great what? In all of what? It wasn't there. Why? Because they were locked under the bondage of the law. They were continually being condemned. Their sacrifices once a year reminded them of their past. Jesus died once, so you had forget your past forever. And your present and your future. Boy, that gives you some, I mean, I don't know about you, man, but that just, your faith, guys, those of you who have this message, our faith is just, whoa, it's just so increased. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Matthew 15, amen, verse 22, Matthew 15, 22. Behold, a woman, a Canaan, came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. She was a believer. She believed. That's all it takes, is that you believe. God did not make this hard or complicated. He said, just believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Come on, Silas, say amen. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take children's bread and throw it. Man, it seems like discouragement was coming her way each time. But look what she said to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, what? Great is your what? Faith. Let it be unto you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Wow. Folks, I want to tell you, the revelation of God's grace in your life, God's unconditional love in your life, put you at a place of such peace and assurity. You have the assurity that God said what he said, and when you speak his word, it's going to be accomplished. You have the assurity that when you lay hands on the sick, they will be healed. You have the assurity that God is never going to leave you, never forsake you, no matter what's going on in your life. You have the assurity that he's there with you at every moment of the day. Even in adversity, God is there with you. Amen. And you have the authority to speak against the winds and the waves. Turn to somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm a water walker. Hallelujah. You rise above. You're not beneath. You're above. The Bible says you're above only. Turn to somebody and say, I'm above only. So our eyes need to be open to this truth of grace. The enemy wants us to stay blind and ignorant. Two of his greatest devices. Satan does not mind us participating in religious activities because religious activities are designed to keep you busy so you won't discover grace. Religion will wear you out. It'll cause you to be judgmental against others. It'll cause you to have a critical attitude. But God says, I want you to receive the revelation of my grace, my son, what I've done for you. Hallelujah. God desires that we receive that. Amen. If we let religion take us down the wrong road, it will mislead us. It will cause us to be blind. And the Bible says, the blind lead the blind. Turn to somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I've got sight. Hallelujah. Look over into, we looked at this scripture last week, but I want us to look over into Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking of the prophetic word that's about him. Luke chapter 4, look at this. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as the custom was, he went into the synagogue and on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened it, the book, he found the place where it was written. Turn to somebody and say, you got to open the book. Got to open the book. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me. Do you know that you have that same spirit? It's not only upon you, it's within you. And you know you have the same unction, the same anointing of Jesus? The anointing is the power to get results. The power to get results lies within your spirit. What do you do to get those results? You believe on the word, you believe on the grace that God's given you, you believe in the finished work, you take your authority and you speak with authority. Jesus always spoke with authority. Prayers should be prayers of authority, not beg me prayers. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Not beg me prayers, but prayers of authority. You are a person in authority. Amen. You pray prayers of authority. You don't pray, oh God, come down through this crack, bless this food, and go right back. No. You pray prayers of authority. As a believer, the authority is within you to take charge of that situation. You take charge of it. Amen. God's leaving it up to you. Most people are leaving it up to God. God says, no, I've given you the authority to speak and to cause life to happen and things to change. If you want to see change, take the word and speak the authority over it. That is the prayer. A prayer is not, oh, God, please, God, help me, God. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, God, if you don't move right now and do something, I don't know what we're going to do. That is not a prayer. You're just batting the air and wasting time. God's up there itching his head. What are they doing? Actually, he's in here. A prayer is, Lord, I see that situation. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. I declare the word of God over that. Lord, thank you, God, by your stripes, I am healed. Thank you, God, my checkbook is talking to me, but I declare that I am prosperous in Jesus Christ. Amen. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I take authority over that. Hey, my kid's acting like a crazy person right now. I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. I declare peace in my family, peace in my home, peace over my children. I am a person of authority. Hallelujah. It's like, whoa, we just put up with stuff. Oh, we just going to put up with it. Just going to, you know, just going to let the devil steal my peace. He ain't ripping me off anymore. He may rip somebody else off, but I'm telling you, I found some good news of grace. And the Bible says, I have authority over him. Jesus said, all authority is given to us. If it's all, it's all. And it leaves him with zero. If you're a mathematician, that should be easy for you to figure out. All, when you have all the marbles and he has none, you have, guess how many marbles? All. Yet we give authority. That's why the Bible says, give no place to the enemy. We give them authority with our mouth. Some of us just need to shut up and sit down. Because we give him authority. You give it to him by saying what is contrary to what God's word has already said about you. So you open up your mouth and you start saying things under pressure that don't line up with what God has already declared about you and his word. And who you are. And you begin to spew it out, and then you start telling others, and they get in agreement with you. Yeah, you are looking sick. Yeah, you look like you don't feel good. And then they tell somebody else, hey, you know what? Come on, somebody. And then they tell somebody else, and you got all these people agreeing negative with you. And you're trying to get a positive result when everybody else and you get on Facebook and you tell the world. Then 500 of your friends, yeah, they do look sick. And then somebody says, I think they're about to die. And then somebody says, well, you know, I think they are. And they go on and on and on. And they spread all this stuff in a negative way because you first didn't take your authority with who you are in Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, it's good to just shut up. Don't allow the devil to know what's going on with you. And don't tell somebody else. Oh, thank you, Johnny. I heard that little amen. I heard it. I heard Johnny, amen. Where you at, Johnny? I can't even see. There she is. Amen. I love you. Amen, Pastor. It's amazing. We wonder how come we get in the situations we're in, and we want people to get us out of because of this right here. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death. And then he says, hey, choose life. Gave you the answer to that. Choose life. You choose life by saying what the word says in agreement with what that word says. No matter what pressure you're under, you still choose that. You don't get on the phone or tell somebody else about what's going on in your life. You tell Jesus, thank you, Lord, I take my authority over this. I know, God, you are working this on my behalf. I declare I'm at peace. I'm not going to let the enemy rob my peace for 1 minute. I'm not let anybody rent space in my brain for 1 minute. No, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be at peace. When I walk into that job tomorrow, there might be all turmoil going on, all hell's breaking loose, but I declare I am at peace with you because, God, you have my future, and it is sealed in you. Amen. And when you understand this full grace message, you walk in that type of authority. You don't let people rattle you. You don't let circumstances rattle you. You love people. You're able to love people. Amen. You love people no matter what's going on. You're still in love with them. You're not in that judgmental place any longer. You've got out of that judgmental place. The judgmental place is the place of the law. It's not a place of grace. A judgmental spirit is the spirit of the law. The spirit of grace is a spirit of forgiveness and love. You walk in love towards people, no matter what. You walk in love. Amen. When they treat you bad, you still smile. Why? Because you know your daddy loves you. And when you know daddy loves you, everything's good. When people don't treat you right, it's still good. Daddy loves me. People talk about you, it's still good. Daddy loves me, and I'm going to love them. You choose immediately when you're walking in grace to forgive somebody because you know how much you've been forgiven. See, all these things trip us up. The enemy has things out there and devices out there, and he wants to just stagnate our growth. He wants to keep us there under the law, keep us in a certain place. He doesn't want us to have a revelation of what we have, because when he knows what we have, he doesn't have authority. When we know what we have, he doesn't have authority. He knows what you have. That's why he said, hey, you know, when those sons of Sceva are trying to cast out the demon, you know, he said, hey, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? Why? Because they weren't operating under the authority. They didn't know. They were just trying to have a demon ministry casting out ministry without Jesus. Don't have a demon casting out ministry without Jesus. Woo, I got a ministry. Hey, we're going to cast out. You're going to get whooped up, boy. You better have Jesus before you start that ministry. Just saying. Amen. Oh, stand this morning. Praise God. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise today. I just got to stop there. I could go on for another half an hour, hour. I'm not going to do that. I want you to be able to absorb in your mind what your seat can take. So, amen. And God loves you today. But I want you to realize what grace is, how much authority you have, what you can walk in. You don't have to give any control over to the devil. Come on, somebody. Have we got any believers in here? You don't have to give any control over the devil. Can somebody say amen? Amen. God's got you. That's the security of grace. God has you. You can't fall out of grace unless you fall back into the law. The only way you fall from grace is falling to the law. That's what the word says. That's the only way. What security you have today as a believer in grace? It is such in Jesus, there's such security, such power, such anointing within you. Amen. When a mosquito lands on you and bites you, he should go away singing, there's power in the blood. Such power within you. Amen. We just kind of go through our days and let the enemy beat us up and let him torment our minds and give him all this and give him all that. No! No! It ain't happening. Turn to somebody and say, I don't know about you, but it ain't happening here. It ain't happening here. Tell somebody, I'm not renting space in my mind. He's not renting space in my mind. Amen. I have the mind of Jesus. That's what the word says. You have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. You let the mind of Christ be in you. Your choice. Hold up your hands this morning. Come on. Let's declare some things today. First of all, I want us to declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am saved. My spirit is sealed, filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. I have power and authority over everything that the enemy would try to throw at me. I am a believer, full of grace, full of truth. My mind is clear, stayed upon Him, stayed upon that word. Thank you, Lord, for releasing that in my life. Woo. I speak peace over every situation that would try to rob my joy. I speak peace. I take my authority and I speak peace. Peace to my body, peace to my family, peace to my workplace, peace in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Give God some praise today, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, you should be like Muhammad Ali. I float like a butterfly, boom, sting like a bee, baby. Amen. That's what you do to the enemy. He has no place, no authority around you. Amen. When you walk out of this place today, you walk up with your head high and saying, I know who I am in Jesus. I know what His word's declared about me. I know what it's declared about my future, and it is good and bright, so bright I need shades, baby. Amen. God is good all the time. Amen. All the time, God is good. Give God some praise this morning. Amen. Why don't you hug five people and tell them God's good this morning. Amen.